Can be seated. You guys can be seated today. My name is Justin, if you don't know that, and I get the honor and privilege of leading Red Life Church. My wife and I, God called us to lead and to start this church almost 10 years ago. 10 years. This coming Easter, 2023, we'll be celebrating 10 years, and we're going to do something good and big for that. You can guarantee it. Just a couple of quick things real quick. Number one, if this is your first time here, maybe you've even been a few times, but you've never taken the step to say hello or really to say what's up through filling out a VIP card, I want you to do that. I ask you and invite you to do that today. It would be just a great gift for us today. You can do that at redlifechurch.com as well. Right in the middle of the page, it says, "Are you new to Red Life?" And that can be a relative term, whether it's your first time or you maybe 6 months have shown up and been hanging out. And listen, here's how you know. You say, "Well, have I done that before? I don't know. I don't remember." If you've never gotten some sort of contact or email from either myself or Val or somebody on the Red Life staff, listen, then that means you need to do this. So please do that, man, so that we can stay in touch and we can have a line of communication. You can stay in contact with everything happening at Red Life Church. I also want to let you know, too, man, every single week, almost every day on Facebook, we have something called our Facebook group. It's called Red Life Brookville. So if you're on Facebook, I want to encourage you to join that, okay? And, man, we ask questions. We post prayer requests. And it's just a way for us to communicate throughout the week. Because how many know that life happens, and I don't know about you, I need Jesus and I need encouragement a lot more than just right here on Sunday morning for about an hour and 15, 20 minutes. Amen? And so that's a way to do that. That's a way that we have discussion. Every week I post questions in there that call back to what we talked about that Sunday. And it's just a great way to spark some conversation, to learn a little bit more, to hopefully encourage you in your walk a little bit, encourage you to dig a little deeper. And then also want to ask you too that later on, we don't have a date set, but sometime in the next 2 or 3 months, we're going to relaunch in-person life groups. We haven't done that for a few years, but I just really feel like, man, it's time more than ever for the people of God to connect, for us to be in relationship. Amen, somebody? And so I just want to throw that out there, just begin to sow that seed for that vision, and you're going to hear more about life groups coming up again very, very, very soon. If the kids haven't been dismissed, I think they did leave, so that's good. I missed that, but they went ahead and gone. So anyway, kids, right? Kids are gone, right? Did they go? Yeah. If you're a kid, you're still here, you need to go to Kids Church, see ya. Okay, go on. And so that's that. And man, I want to pray. We're going to pray over the offering here just a minute to read the scripture. Thank you so much for your giving. If you guys are looking how to do that, how to support the mission of reaching and encouraging and discipling, there are giving boxes at the back and all the digital options online are there. Amen? You guys ready to get to the Word of God today? Okay, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's cold and you guys are like shivering or we're just not awake yet, but we better get with it. I said, are you guys ready to get in the Word of God today? Amen. All right, that's the kind of excitement that we need to get into the Word of God. We're in part two. We're going to be in this series for a while called He's Been There. And we opened this up. Last week, I just kind of opened the idea of the fact that Jesus has been everywhere that we are. We're going to dive into some specific places that Jesus has been that I think is going to speak to our life and let us know that we have an advocate and a high priest in Jesus that knows what we face and what we're going through in life, okay? I'm going to read a couple of portions of text. Can you put Hebrews 4:15 up there for me? Hebrews 4:15 says, "This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin." So we're looking at this He's Been There series. We're looking at all the ways that Jesus was tested, all of the things that we go through that in some form or way or fashion, Jesus also went through, and we're going to continue to dig into that. And today we're going to look at this. We're going to look at Jesus the immigrant. He's been there, Jesus the immigrant. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, and then I'm going to read a couple of verses and skip to verse 19, okay? Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. 'Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother,' the angel said. 'Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him.' That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet: 'I called my son out of Egypt.'" Then we're going to skip to verse 19, where it says, "When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. 'Get up,' the angel said. 'Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child are dead.'" Now, just so you know, it took me a second to skip. We just skipped over like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years possibly right there where Jesus is actually in Egypt. We don't know exactly how long, but probably several years, okay? Okay, so where was that? Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel because those who are trying to kill the child are dead. Verse 21, so Joseph got up, returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother, but when he learned that the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son, Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned in a dream again, he left for the region of Galilee. So the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth. And this fulfilled what the prophets had said, he will be called a Nazarene. Okay, you guys ready to pray? Yep. Amen? Okay, I know I'm wearing Steelers colors. Don't be offended by that today. Did you just text me about that? Yeah, I saw you texting me, and I didn't look at it because I already knew. I knew when I got this shirt out of the closet that Missy Burton was going to have a problem with this. I thought it would be okay because we're not playing the Steelers today. So to make up for it, I'm going to pray for the Bengals while we pray over this message today, okay? Would that be okay with everybody? Okay, here we go, okay? Jesus, we love you, and we thank you for this time. We thank you for this moment. Thank you for your word. God, I pray that, God, you anoint me to speak it, anoint us all to hear it, Father, in Jesus' name. God, I pray that you will do exactly what you have purposed and planned to do in our hearts and in our lives today as we look at your word. God, don't let us just have a message. Don't let us just have some good points and some ideas. Lord, I pray that we would have a life-changing encounter with you through the Holy Spirit today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hand on your belly. Repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes, open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be in Jesus' name. And Lord, help the Bengals beat the Ravens today. Amen and amen. Okay, so this little portion of text here, if you read, you have to really piece together, and it's very difficult because the authors of the Gospels, especially Matthew and Luke, their goal was never to give us a concise timeline of Jesus the child. It was to kind of skip through. They wanted to show the miraculous virgin birth that we celebrate at Christmas. We'll be celebrating here in just a couple of months. But they wanted to really get to the meat of Jesus' life and ministry and what happens in Jesus' life. So there's some confusing parts here. And this is what's known. Jesus, when he went to Egypt and was actually born and raised up from the time as a baby through probably very early childhood, was actually living away from Israel in Egypt. And theologians call this Jesus's lost years. And there have been some kind of wild writings about Jesus as Egypt. All of it's made up. None of it really is grounded in truth. But there have been some people who have written back in the day, you can find some writings called Jesus's infancy gospels, where they make up all kinds of wild stories about Jesus the baby and Jesus the child doing wild, miraculous things. Like there's one story that floats around that supposes that Jesus made 12 clay pigeons, and then Jesus, as like a 7 or 8 year old, brought those pigeons to life, and life was manifested. Which there's no real proof. It was just a wild story of people just imagining, you know, Jesus as a baby in Egypt. One of my favorite stories is that the baby Jesus's bathwater was used to heal people in Egypt. So can you imagine that if that was real, like they bathed the baby Jesus in soapy bathwater, and then you could give that to someone and you sprinkle it on him and they would be healed. That would be pretty wild. In fact, I got my hands on some of Jesus' bath water shipped to me on Amazon. And if you want to see me in the back, I've got Jesus' miracle baby bath water right here in the foyer. I'm going to sell that to you today for $24.99 a bottle if you're interested. So you can see me. I'm just kidding. Okay, but there's these wild stories that people have used to try to fill in some of this lost time. But here's what I want to get to today. Jesus, and this is something we don't really think about with Jesus, but Jesus was actually an immigrant. Okay? Jesus had to flee the land of his birth and was raised for a period of time, a long period of time, in a place, not his homeland, in a foreign land. Jesus was an immigrant. Now, you might be saying, well, listen, I'm not an immigrant. I was born here in this nation. I've never gone to another land or whatever. Some of you may be. I don't know who we got here. I don't know who we got watching. But listen, I want you to don't think that this dismisses you, that this doesn't apply to any of us, because here's the reality. Jesus as an immigrant answers this question. Let me ask you this before you just dismiss the next 20 minutes we have together and go, well, this isn't for me today. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had to leave something, someone, or a place and start over? My family, we've been here now in Brookville for about 10 years. It's the longest we've ever been anywhere since my wife and I were married. We kind of moved about every 3 years. And in those 3 years, or in the first several years of our marriage, we probably moved, I think, about 13 times if I counted it up. It's over a dozen. We moved a lot. Has anybody ever moved a lot and moved around a lot as a kid, a military kid, or whatever else? This is what is really awful about moving, I think. Well, the whole process of moving is terrible, to be honest with you. I hate every ounce of it. But the real stuff, the real issues, besides just like having to box everything up and that, just the aggravation of that, is like, have you ever experienced, like, when I noticed that when we move, and whether it's just across town to another house or to another city or another state somewhere, there always seems to be this gap of where you're unsettled and you have to start over, and there's like this, even financially, there's like the gap of all the expense that's accrued when you move somewhere and you pay your last electric bill here, and then you got to put a deposit down on the next one because the last guy who left that address left a big, you know what I mean, or whatever, and there's like this big gap that takes place, and sometimes it can take months. We've had moves that took us a year or two to actually recover from and really settle into, because there's this gap sometimes when that happens when we leave somewhere. So listen, and here's the other thing with Jesus. Notice when Jesus is born, the shepherds come to see Jesus. They're told by an angel, go see this baby in a manger. Wise men travel from far away to see this Messiah that was foretold to them in the stars. And in fact, when Jesus goes to the temple as a baby, just a couple days old, there are prophets and prophetesses there, Ananias and Anna, and they speak all these great blessings about Jesus. King Herod, though he has ill and evil intentions to kill the baby, King Herod is searching for him. Something. I don't know if I swallowed a bug or what. Lord help me. I was really on a roll there too. I rebuked the devil in Jesus' name. Excuse me. Jesus was like the most famous baby that had ever been born to that point. No, I mean, he had like grown men giving him gifts of gold and expensive things and expensive items. Then all of a sudden Jesus moves and everybody loses track of him. Nobody knows where he is, and nobody's even thinking about him anymore. They move on to the next thing, and Jesus kind of moves into obscurity. So I want you to hear me now. Beyond the physical idea of being an immigrant and everything that would involve, listen, Jesus, the immigrant, he's been there, speaks to any of us and any person that has ever had to leave something behind and start over somewhere else. Amen? Okay? Listen, Jesus faced the starting over that happens when you have to leave a place that's killing you. Anybody ever had to leave a place that if you didn't leave, you knew you were going to die? Amen, somebody? Maybe not even die physically, but maybe you had to leave a place that was killing you emotionally. Maybe you've had to leave a relationship that was killing you spiritually. Maybe you've had to leave a job that was killing you mentally with the stress. Maybe you've had to leave and start over for some places and some things. And listen, that left a gap, and that left a hole, and that left a place where you're trying to make up for lost time and make up for this and that. And listen, there may be even some of you right now, I want you to pay attention. What I really see here, notice that Joseph, because Jesus was a baby, so this was all really being done in Jesus' life through Joseph, his father, and Mary. And notice that when Joseph is warned and says, the angel shows up and says, hey, Herod is going to kill Jesus if you don't get out of here. You got to go to Egypt, okay? And so notice that Joseph obeys right away when he's warned that if you stay in this place, you are going to die. Something really bad is going to happen, okay? And Joseph probably had every excuse. Joseph was a carpenter. His business was there in Israel. His business was there in Judea. He had contacts there. He had a home there. His family was there. It wasn't far out of the possibility to go to Egypt at that time, but he had no reason to go except this warning that, hey, if you stay here, you're going to die. Something bad is going to happen. And you know what? There may be some of you in this place today. There may be some of you watching at home, right, listening at home right now. Listen, that there's been something warning you, saying, hey, if you don't leave this thing, if you don't leave this habit, if you don't leave this place you're in, if you don't leave this relationship you're in, if you don't leave this business, if you don't get out of where you are going to die. It may not be physically, but it may be spiritually. And I want to encourage you, listen, if there's a warning going off in your heart right now in this season you're in, if there's something saying, hey, leave this friendship behind, it's no good. Leave this job behind, it's no good. Leave this thing behind, it's no good. I want you to listen to me, man. You can, if that is a warning you have in your heart, don't let any excuse or anything keep you in a place that is killing you. Amen, somebody? Jesus, the immigrant. Jesus understands what it was like to start over. He faced the starting over that happens when we have to leave a place that could have killed us. And this is what I want to get to, because this is the good part of this. I want you to understand that where Jesus is placed, and when God warns you and leads you to leave a place, and that might make you feel like, hey, I'm starting over, might make you feel like, hey, I'm not going to another country, but man, leaving this job, leaving this house, leaving this city, man, it feels like I am in a new place. I can relate to the idea of immigration, because that's what I'm doing in some part of my life. Listen, I want you to know something. God always has purpose where he places you. Amen, somebody? Let me say that one more time. God always has a purpose when he places you somewhere. Amen? Let me break down the places that Jesus ends up being placed. And it's really interesting. You can see, we're going to see the purpose that God has through his placement. The first place Jesus goes to Egypt, okay? Jesus goes to Egypt. Now, at this time, you understand, this is Roman, the height of the Roman Empire. Rome has taken over all of the civilized world at this point, for the most part. Okay, and so Rome is in charge of Israel, Rome is in charge of Egypt, and because it's all part of the Roman system, it's easy to migrate from one place to another under the Roman Empire. And at this time, there is a large community of Jewish people. There's a big Jewish population that has settled in Egypt under the Roman Empire. So there was a place for them to go, there was a place for them to feel comfortable. It's not like in Egypt, that's way out there. So it would have made sense at the time for that to be a place to go and flee to and hide out in when you needed to. But here's what's really wild thing about Egypt. And we see that Jesus, the scripture says in the New Testament that God did that so that the prophecy would be fulfilled that God said back in the Old Testament, I called my son out of Egypt, okay? But what else happens when Jesus moves to Egypt? Is when Jesus moves to Egypt, because remember, Jesus died. His sacrifice on the cross. Some of you that raised your hand and just prayed that prayer a few moments ago, listen, what we're talking about there, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was not just for all of the people that would come after Jesus, but it was also for all of the righteous Old Testament people that lived according to God's law that needed to find salvation in Jesus previously. Does that make sense? And so what's kind of wild, if you know your Old Testament, some of you Sunday school graduates might remember the Old Testament, where did Israel come from? It's not a trick question, okay? Egypt, okay? Remember the story? Some guy, Israel and his 12 sons, they went to Egypt back in Exodus and they became slaves in Egypt. Then Moses came along, and after 400 years of the Israelites being slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, Moses said, let my people go. And after a period of time, Moses leads the people of Israel out of Egypt 40 years through the wilderness into the promised land that would become Israel of this time, and even becomes now the Israel that we talk about today on the map. Listen, so God called the people of Israel out of Egypt. So when Jesus moves to Egypt and then comes back to Israel, he at that moment identifies, and he could say, hey, I've been there where all of my Old Testament brethren, where all of my Jewish brothers and sisters from generations before me, I've been where they are, and I was also called out of Egypt in the same way. Here's what I want you to understand. Listen to me. Jesus not only identifies with where you are right now, Jesus not only identifies with wherever we're going to be, but Jesus has been wherever we have ever been. Amen? Jesus, listen, he's been there. Everywhere I've been, everywhere I am, and everywhere I'm going to be. And we see that in the prophetic move to Egypt, okay? And so when Jesus comes back to Egypt, Joseph is afraid to go to the place where they were originally from, where they originally were going to settle because Herod's son was still there and thought, okay, there. And he, the Bible says again, he was warned in a dream, don't settle here, go here. And where do they go? They go to this region of Galilee, okay? The Roman Empire divvied up the nation of Israel into basically three regions or three states. You had Judea, you had Samaria, and you had Galilee, okay? Now, Judea was where the capital was, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is where the temple resided. And Galilee was the larger region where most of the Gentiles resided. Think about that. When God brings Jesus back to Israel from Egypt, he doesn't place him in Judea around the temple where all the religious stuff happened and where you would think the Messiah should be hanging out most of the time and where you would think the king would be hanging out. No, God places Jesus, the king, the Messiah, the Savior, right in the middle of the biggest population of non-religious people, of what we call Gentiles, non-Jewish people, who Jesus would later die for. Do you think that in any way, shape, or form is a coincidence or an accident? No, friend, God placed the king exactly where he was supposed to be, okay? And in fact, many of the religious scholars, if you know some of the gospels, when Jesus begins to come on the scene and people are beginning to talk about this guy Jesus, this might be the one we've been waiting for, there were a lot of the scribes at one point, there was a conversation between Nicodemus and some Pharisees, and they said, look into it. No prophet has ever come out of Galilee. God has never raised up anybody from that area. If God's going to raise up a Messiah, it's going to be from right here in Judea. It's going to be from right here in Jerusalem, right here in the city of David, right here where the temple is. Judea had the temple, the building, but God placed the king in Galilee, where the people that needed to hear him and most were. Amen, somebody? Because there's purpose in God's placement. Not only did he go to Galilee, but he went to Nazareth. Okay? Nazareth. Some of you remember the conversation when Peter goes to Andrew, and Peter's like, hey, I met this guy Jesus who's doing miracles. I think this is the one we've been looking for to follow, man. You know what Andrew said to Peter? He said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nazareth was looked at as a place you didn't want to be from. It was looked at as a place where it was full of connivers and thieves or whatever. It just wasn't appealing. But that's where God placed on purpose the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior, the Messiah. Why did he do that? Again, to fulfill prophecy. What did it say in the scripture? He says this was to fulfill the prophecy that this Messiah would be called a Nazarene or a Nazarite. This is one thing I've learned about God, that this is where faith has to come in. Listen, I want you to know something today. In your life, no matter how disorganized, no matter how crazy, no matter how wild the season you're in might feel, I want you to know something. God, your Father who loves you, listen now, God is moves ahead of you and I in the game that he's got played out for us. Amen, somebody? Anybody play chess in here? I'm a big chess. I like to play. I play a lot of chess. I play on my phone. I play more than one game a day. Several games usually, and I'm really into my 5-minute game rating. It needs to be better. I'm not a chess master or anything. I don't even know any strategies. I just like to play, but I don't know what anything is. But this is what I have learned: the more involved I get in that game, in that board game, the more moves ahead I can think of on the game, the better I usually am, okay? The players that are only thinking one move ahead and then reacting to what your opponent's doing usually are gonna be very average to not very good. But when I begin to think 2, 3, 4 moves ahead, when I begin to think I'm gonna do this, he's gonna do that, then I can do this, then he's gonna do that, and then I'll do this, that's when you're thinking on a whole nother level. And I want you to know something. God is thinking on a level so far beyond any of us can imagine. Okay, God, way back in the Old Testament, already had all of the moves to the game figured out and played out. And so he was able to say, I'm going to call him out of Egypt, and then I'm going to call him out of Nazareth, and I'm going to put all the pieces together and make all these moves happen and figure out. And but why? Because he is moves ahead. So that means when moves begin to get made in my life and things begin to shake and something begins to go, well, hey, this doesn't make any sense. And how's that going to work out? I need to rest easy and understand that the God in heaven that I serve, my God, the loving Father that I know through Jesus Christ, he's already moves ahead of me, baby. He's already been there. He's already played the game. He's already figured out, and he's already developed a winning strategy for you and for me. Amen, somebody? And so he goes to Nazareth to fulfill prophecy because God's moves ahead. And here's what all of these things I want you to get out of this. Listen, God had purpose even in Jesus's displacement because he was displaced from his home where he was born and moved to another place. And then even when he moved back to the land of his birth, he was put into another place that wasn't familiar, that he wasn't from. And it looks like all of this displacement's happening, but God is moves ahead. And here's what I want you to understand. Listen to me close. And I'm almost done here. God is putting me in place even when it looks like I'm losing my place. Amen, somebody? It may look like things are being taken from your life. It may look like the Lord is warning you to leave something and lose something and start over with this. And it may look like you're losing your place in line. Man, this job is killing me. I'm getting an ulcer and I'm stressed out and I'm burnt out and I hate going to work every day. But man, I've got this seniority thing and I can't, man, I'm 40 years old. I'm 50 years old. I can't go somewhere and start over as a young chump at a beginning salary. And I can't, I've worked up to where I got 6 weeks of vacation. Man, I can't lose my place. I can't lose my place, but I got something telling me I gotta go. Listen. It may look like you're losing your place, but when I'm trusting God and when it's God, God is putting me in place. Amen, somebody? God is putting me in place even when it looks like I'm losing my place because he's already played the game for me. Amen? Now, we talk about starting over and we talk about a gap. Jesus is the most famous baby that's ever been born. People showing up, people saying, oh my God, I've never seen a child like this. And then besides one little moment, when Jesus is 12 years old and he shows up in the temple. You remember the story? Remember the story? The Bible says they were at the temple and they moved on and they looked around. This is wild, right? Like, Mary, you remember 12 years ago, like that crazy birth you had where you were a virgin and all of a sudden you were pregnant and the angel showed up and all, remember that? And now, like, wouldn't you think you would maybe keep a little, like I'm going to make sure I have Jesus before we leave. You know what I mean? But he seems to be important. I should really keep an eye on him. You know what I mean? But they leave and they look around like, oh, we forgot Jesus. We forgot this miraculous baby I had and we just forgot him 12 years later. That's how you know parenting is hard. But you know what I mean? Because even Jesus, they were like, we can take a few days off. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, so they go back to find Jesus, and where is he? He's in the temple, right? And the Bible says he's awing and wowing everybody with his wisdom and his explanation and teaching of Scripture, right? That's the only story that we have between Jesus fleeing Egypt. We have this one little moment, the most famous baby in the world, and then we get this one little blip, and then we get nothing until he's 30 years old. And from 30 years old to his crucifixion is about 3.5 years. Now think about how wild this is. All that we talk about, all of Jesus' teachings, all of the miracles, everything that we write songs about and sing about and talk about and we've been studying for 2,000 years, we've been coming over and going over and still seeing new truth and still seeing new things about Jesus' life. It all takes place in about a 3-year time period. Jesus moves, and we essentially create this gap where nothing happens and we hear nothing about him for 30 years. And then in the 3 years, do you know what John, the Gospel of John says? Come on up, Eric. You know what the Gospel of John says? The Gospel of John says, at the end of his gospel, he says, these are the things that we've told you about Jesus. But he says this. He says, there are not enough pages of paper and ink in the world to write about everything that Jesus said and did. John actually says, this is a beginning of all the things Jesus said and did. Do you understand? Are you hearing the weight of that? There's a 30-year period of nothing because Jesus had to leave a place and start over and as an immigrant. You might have had to leave some stuff and start over, and you're feeling, hey, man, I'm still not recovered yet. I left a job and I'm still not recovered yet. I moved to another house. I moved to another city. I'm still not recovered yet. I had to leave some friendships and some relationships behind, and I'm still not recovered yet, man. And when am I going to catch up? When is that gap going to be filled? Jesus had a 30-year gap. But when it was time, 3 years, God did more through him than could ever be recorded or written about. Somebody ought to say amen there. No, don't say it because I told you to. Say it here, listen. Somebody ought to say amen because we serve a God who knows how to make up for lost time and who knows how to fill in the gaps. Amen, somebody? We serve a God who knows how to make up for the time that was lost when I have to start something over. We serve a God who knows how to fill in the gaps that are created if I had to leave a thing behind or go somewhere else and start over. We serve a God who is able to fill in the gap. Listen, when I let God's purpose play out in my displacement, when I trust that even though I'm being displaced, even though I feel like I'm losing my place, but I trust that God knows how to put me in the right place, that God's purpose is being worked out in his placement, even though it feels like I'm losing something in my placement. Listen, he will make up. He will make up for the time that's lost. Amen, somebody? We stand up all over this place this morning. Just close your eyes for a second. I just want to speak this over somebody's life today. This may not be for everybody, but I really sense in my spirit this for somebody because I really feel like God put this in my heart this morning. I was in here praying early this morning. I was going over these notes and I was just praying, you know, God, you know, and I do that a lot on Sunday mornings. I was praying over the message, just praying, God, help me to communicate. And when I got to this part, I really felt like the Lord wanted me to tell somebody, listen to me, wanted me to tell somebody that he is filling in the gaps, that he is filling in the gaps in the places in your life where you've had to start over. God is filling in those gaps. And you may not see it right now, you may not feel it right now, but listen, we only have to look to the life of Jesus and see that he's been there, and what God did through him, that same power is working in and through you and me in Jesus' name. If you believe God's filling in the gaps in your life where you've had to start over, why don't you just lift up your hands right now and just begin to thank him for that? Come on, why don't you just begin to speak? Just begin to say that, God, I thank you that you're filling in the gaps in my life. Lord, I thank you that you are able to make up for the lost time. Lord, I thank you that I may feel like I'm in obscurity. I may feel like I've lost my place in line. Lord, I may feel like I've had to lose some things. I may feel like I've been even displaced. I may feel like I'm in another land or another world away from the things I'm comfortable with. But God, I just trust you today to fill in those gaps. Lord, I trust you today to make up for the lost time, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You know, if you're being convicted, there's somebody, like, you know, when I spoke earlier about being a warning in your spirit that, man, if you don't get out, if you don't change this, if you don't leave this, man, it's killing you. And you've got to get away from that for a while because it's killing you spiritually. It's killing you emotionally. It's killing you mentally. Man, maybe you've been holding on and not been able to obey in that area of your life, man. I want to challenge you and encourage you to make that commitment today, right now. Say, Lord, I'm gonna do what I got to do, and I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you that even if I'm losing my place in life, even if I'm losing my place, even if I'm losing my place, God, you're putting me in the perfect place in Jesus' name. How many believe we serve a God that's filling in the gaps today? Amen, somebody? How many believe you're serving a God that's making up for lost time today? Amen, somebody? Listen, I was just reading in Job, man. I've been reading in Job the last few weeks. I mean, the thing that stands out in the book of Job, if you know the story, is Job lost everything by no fault of his own, just a pure attack from evil of the devil. But because Job handled his loss correctly and allowed God to speak to him and minister to him through it, the Bible says that God blessed the later part of Job's life doubly, even with double than what he had before. That's the kind of God, that's the kind of made up time God's able to do. Amen for us. Amen, somebody? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, Father, right now I thank you that you are making up for lost time in my life. Lord, I thank you that you are filling in the gaps where I've had to start over. Lord, I thank you that you are filling in the gaps where I've had to leave some things. Lord, I thank you that you are filling in the gaps and making up the space where I may have had to flee something because it wasn't healthy, it was killing me, Lord. Father, I speak that over us today, and I thank you for making God, even if we don't see it, God, we're not going to see it right away, but I thank you for giving us the peace, the awareness, and the assurance in our heart that God, our Father, is placing us on purpose right where you've called us to be. In Jesus' name. Lift up your hands right now. Receive this blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. And the Lord give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's worship for just a second. If you need prayer, there will be people right over here to my left, your right, that will be willing to pray with you about any need you have in your life, man. Let's worship for a moment as we go.